everybody, and welcome to Pep Talks. Good evening, good day, good twilight, whatever the hell it is. I'm Eddie Pepitone. This is my co-host, Steve Lally.
Hey, everybody. Eddie takes this seriously. That's why he's got his vegan burrito. And he wanted you to know what it's like in his regular life when he's just doing stuff like eating. He wants you, the audience, to feel more engaged in his personal life. So
look, I want to start this podcast off by telling you we're all doomed. We all know that. Climate breakdown, mass shootings, the breakdown of democracy, the rise of white nationalism. But that doesn't mean you can't have a good burrito. Am I right, Stephen?
Modern Family.
What about Modern Family? That's a good show. All right. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to eat, so we wanted to get the podcast started.
A little earlier.
What's been going on with you this week? Anything interesting? We actually didn't talk about that.
Yeah, I had a date yesterday with a girl.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, I didn't show you the picture of her. I got to show you the picture.
All right.
Beautiful woman, Instagram model.
Oh, that's funny to me. That's right. You talked about that.
How does anybody, that they say that these women make money, they make a living with their Instagram followers?
I don't know.
How
I
does
think
that even?
Irma, do you know our producer?
Emma.
Is it Emma?
It's Emma.
It's Emma.
Oh, Emma, I'm
Hi,
sorry.
Emma.
No,
I'm
my
fucking
last
up your last name. Your
no, my last
name
is Erdbrink, but it's funny because my grandmother's name was Irma. So
look,
it's like your channel.
I don't
channel
need any lip from you.
Was,
now,
she was she Irma Erdbrink?
She was.
Oh, that's awesome.
Do you know about the Instagram models making money? How do they do it?
They get paid to plug products and stuff on their feeds. Like they basically get paid to advertise. It's like paid advertisements.
Okay, so if you have 30,000, do you know this, Emma?
I think you need to have 10,000 followers to get paid to sell stuff.
Oh, I'm almost at 10 grand.
Are you?
I'm not entirely sure how it works because I don't have that many followers, but it's something like that. You have to have a significant amount, and then brands will be like, your followers will like our stuff. Please wear it and plug it and sell it.
What if I were
followers.
In skimpy outfits on Instagram?
I think you would improve your following.
Yeah.
Eddie.
Maybe I'm going to do that. Like really, really skimpy, flimsy, lacy.
I think the dancing, you know, like the thing we talked about with the go-go boots and the teabag, the G-string and the go-go boots.
Yeah. Anyway, I finished eating, folks. Instagram. So you were on. I had this date with this girl
who's fucking beautiful, and she. I don't even know. She looked like she was 23. I didn't ask.
How old was she?
I don't know because I didn't ask. I didn't think it was appropriate to ask.
It isn't. Of course, it's
first
not.
Date. You know, but
Emma, you don't ask. Somebody shouldn't ask your age, right?
What do you think, Emma?
When you're on a date?
I mean, I think eventually you should talk about how old you are to make sure there isn't a crazy age gap.
Oh.
Well, there's definitely
but
a crazy age gap.
I don't think on the first date.
Yeah.
No.
I'm just, she was into me and it was apparent.
Really?
We were, yeah, obviously.
An Instagram model was into you.
I don't know what's good. And
I hope she doesn't have something up her sleeve like.
This is what we talked about. I'm being
no,
set up.
No, using you for
to climb her way to the bottom?
No, I mean, she's already an Instagram model,
yeah.
So she's far ahead of you.
What does she know? There's nothing I have to offer her. I rolled up on a bicycle. By the way, this is what life is like. See
yes.
that? Do you see
By the
that?
Way, a lot of people will blow their nose off the air. But I want you guys to see that I am just like you because a lot of people idealize me and they're like, oh, Eddie is not human. He's this incredible human being. You are right, but I am human. I'm all too human. Have you ever read Of Human Bondage? Of Human Bondage by Somerset Maugham? But anyway, I've had allergies, I thought, but Steven said it might be a sinus infection, which, oh, God, I've just felt run down, and I have a lot of post-nasal drip. So that's what you're dealing with tonight, and that's why I have the bib handy.
You got to get well because we have a show now. We got a show, so you got to get...
Should we unveil it right now?
I don't know.
Well, it hasn't been made
No,
yet.
I don't think we should, but...
Is it going to be a digital show at
We
first?
Have a show. Yeah. We pitched a show to this production company, All Things Comedy. that
they
I
agreed
I
we're going to start
of,
filming it.
Eddie and I created, and we're going to start filming in April. So for those of you who are really enjoy this podcast, you'll get to see us every week.
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes, but.
But anyway.
You need to get right, though. You need to get well, man.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel that bad, but it's just a pain in the ass, this nasal drip.
Yeah.
Having to blow my nose on television. I was filming a sitcom, not to brag. I was filming a sitcom, and I just had to blow my nose. And I convinced the director, a great guy named Harvey Lana.
To work it into the scene? Did he?
To have my character have post-nasal drip. And Harvey, to his credit, he said, yeah.
It's amazing the creative influence you wield on the set, Eddie, that you can
well
work these maladies.
Well, when you have my pedigree... you certainly can use it, you know. But anyway, so I had the date.
Yeah, go ahead. So I had the date. So the girl's into me. She's talking to me. She's connecting with me, and I'm connecting with her. She asked me if I want to have children, stuff like that.
Mm.
Do you want to have kids one day? I said, yeah.
Isn't that a little upfront?
A little bit. I thought a little too quick
because on a first date, you know, I don't. You know, you shouldn't plan a family on a first date.
Yeah, but when you're staring across from a woman who you have no business being with, you kind
of
just
out of your league,
you kind
of so
way out of my league. You just
would that make you suspicious? Like, what does she want? She saw me ride up on a bicycle. Does she need a bike messenger bag? Does she need tips on how to oil the chain?
Yeah,
maybe she has a bicycle.
Maybe she wants to bike more.
Yes.
You know.
No, but yeah, so.
I don't know, dude. I was really.
Maybe she just really likes you.
Maybe she really likes me. But what?
How'd you meet?
On my bike. I saw her as I was.
See, now Steve is in L.A., and you know, the prevailing wisdom is that you need a great car in L.A., but Steve meets ladies on his bike. Like, Steve will be riding down going, hey, hi, how are you? You look very, very nice, and I mean that in a very Me Too kind of way. I just want to say you're very attractive. What? You're
I'm
an
so
Instagram.
Glad it's not you talking for me. It would go really badly. Oh my!
May I say that there's nothing more heavenly than Jupiter or Uranus. Well, Uranus is technically, I don't know if you know this, ma'am. I'm still talking like this is Steve still on a bike. Uranus is technically not a planet anymore, but I would say there's nothing more prettier than Uranus and you. So what happened?
So she wants to go out again. She texted me. It was great to get to know you. And
wow.
I look forward to another, you know, she's going out of town for something coming back. But she grew up here and wants to hang out again. So I don't know. I don't know. But all I could think was I'm getting older because a few years ago I wouldn't have been suspicious at all. And now I'm like, what the fuck? What's the angle?
Has she asked you for any credit card information?
Not yet. She did ask me for my social security number, but I just figured that was what people do on dates now. Yeah.
That's common. You have to punch in a social of anybody you date, and also immunization history.
Yeah. Family tree. They want the you got to spit into the thing and send it in the mail to get
you spit into the thing, they send it in the mail.
Right.
You know, it's usually 4 to 6 weeks,
right.
Which, you know, that's not good for a second date. You got to wait
really.
4 to 6
not
weeks
good.
For a second date. But I. I mean, if you're dating someone, you want to know their DNA history, their,
right.
You know, complete family tree.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm making fun of that. You know, we don't need any of that. And I think Steven should just go with his gut here and, just your instinct, and you'll know whether or not.
Go with the flow.
You know. Go with the flow. Well, where was your first date? Was it?
It was at a little French bakery on La Brea.
No tables?
tables inside.
Oh, there was?
Yeah, tables. French bakery, like a place.
I think where, I know where that is, on La Brea.
Yeah, like a $7 croissant, a place where women,
a $7 you know, croissant.
Yeah.
Croissant, but that's how I order, by the way, just, you know, because the French can be pretentious and haughty. And so I come into French bakeries and I let them know, I'll be like, yes, I put on this kind of accent. Yes, I would like a French croissant. And the guy behind the counter is like, all right, buddy. Yeah, here we go. French croissant. That'll be $9.50.
You sound like James Coco. You sound like James Coco from Murder by Death. I'm not a Frenchie, I'm a Belgian.
I'm a Belgian. James Coco, for those of you who don't know, Murder by Death by Neil Simon. Coco, James Coco, played Hercule Poirot, who was created by Agatha Christie. And he was a Belgian. He was
detective,
Belgian,
right?
Not French, detective. And that was a running gag in this series. They would say, he's a frog or he's French. And he would say, no, I am not French. I am Belgian. And he would walk away perturbed. And by the way, you're already getting, like, we've mentioned Agatha Christie on this podcast. We've mentioned a bakery. We've mentioned an Instagram. You're already getting more than you deserve. And it's disgusting. It's disgusting. We have a lot of calls this week.
We do.
And we have some ads to get to, calls, ads, and then talk about the state of our world, which, you know, all this violence going on, mass shooting in New Zealand, the rise of, you know, this white nationalism attack on a mosque. My dogs are doing well, though. My dogs are doing what? Basil and Charlotte. And the reason I juxtapose those two, you know, the horrific shooting and then my dogs are doing well, is that that's what life is really like. It's like you fucking hear about stuff, hopefully not witness or be part of it. But you have your life, you know, and you could go down this rabbit hole of fucking media. And, you know, and one of our callers, you'll hear, Steve from Toronto, he, you know, says, I want to be informed, but
yeah, he's struggling.
I want to be informed, I want to be aware, but it's disturbing. So what do you do? And I don't know, part of me lately just wants to fucking check out of this madness and just be present and responsible in my own life. What do you think about that? I mean, but I because it's also addictive, the horrible news. You know, this is ground we've covered, but.
What does your wife call it? Porn?
Grief porn.
Grief porn. I check out, dude. I don't have a problem tuning out. I don't have a problem at all. I think it's a wisdom thing. You know when to get out. You know when to stop scrolling the Facebook feed or checking in on the Yahoo News or by the way, we have more instruments to give us information now than we ever have.
We have way too much.
So why do you
information coming into our heads? I feel beleaguered by it.
Yeah, so checking out is natural to not want to be overwhelmed and angered.
It's crazy. And also when you're just following quote unquote the news and you don't get context. Like you don't like I mean I love reading guys like Alexander Cockburn and Chris Hedges, Cockburn on Counterpunch. I believe that's where he writes for. Counterpunch is a great thing. Glenn Greenwald on The Intercept, TheIntercept.com, online magazine. These guys at least give you context for these horrific events, you know? Democracy Now! Is something that I follow. And I really – but – and then the context – is great. I mean, I've always, and so I'm conflicted because I'm a student of political history, political sociology, particularly history, because it seems that most people don't have these days, especially any historical context about anything. It's just the event, and they just react to the event with no context. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, what does that say? I mean, that
you tell me.
The education, our system of education is so, it's just part of the whole thing disintegrating that people don't know. I mean, I have a public school education, but I don't know, man. I mean, what? Why are people so, at an eighth grade reading level? You know, our country's at an eighth grade reading level.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Our country is at an eighth grade reading level?
Well, I read it somewhere.
Were you? Are you sure you read it properly?
I think
because you
might
have an eighth grade. Well, actually, if you're eighth grade reading level, at least you could.
I would have been able to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's true, though. I believe that's a true statistic.
Yeah.
So there's more colleges and more universities than there's ever
been. How about
been.
That our country's at an eighth grade reading level, according to Steve Lally? And we have so much wealth. There's so much incredible wealth in this country for only, of course,
super rich. It didn't work. They thought just mm-hmm. keeping paying the rich, we'll just keep paying the rich to be rich, and that's going to work. It'll all work, and it just failed. It keeps failing, and it.
Yeah,
you know,
another fiasco. I mean, I've talked about this a lot in the podcast, but like, you know how the media rolls out everything like it's a reality show. How the election circus is now happening. And I got sucked into a little bit of a Facebook thing today because I'm just if I vote for any, it's going to be Bernie. You know, if I vote for anybody, it's going to be Bernie and or Tulsi Gabbard, I think, was the other one I'm interested in. You know, but it's rolled out as a reality show. You know, this one, that one. Again, no context that these people are, you know, corporate whores, they're Pentagon whores, they don't challenge our wars, our constant wars, they don't challenge the fucking unchallengeable in this country, which is, you know, they don't question the war machine. That's such a big part of it. And if you're part of the war machine out there, have we got a special for you this week. If you have pressed a button having a drone fly over a wedding in Afghanistan, you are eligible for a Big Mac. A Big Mac, a pen of fries, and a coffee. I hear the McDonald's coffee is very good. Should we get to maybe...
Yeah. That was great, man. That was a little Christopher Walken-esque almost. Like a carnival Christopher Walken. That's what you did.
By the way, I look like a mob boss with the shades and the
You bib. Look like the guy in The Sopranos Excellent. Who's just about to get...
Let me tell
Cut
you,
off the show.
Let me tell you something. If you would have come to me about the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, if you would have come to me about Raytheon and Halliburton, with these enormous profits, if you would have come to me about the fact that human beings and nature have been turned into commodities. They are used till exhaustion. I would have done something about it. I would have had our society be utopian, but instead, you don't come to me with this. You treat me like I'm a stranger. Now get out of here. I want you to read our first ad. We have a first time sponsor, Feline Flotsam. These ads written by... one of our producers, or our producer, Matt Rossimoto. And Matt needs help, a lot of help.
He's getting some help.
You want to read the first ad?
I'm so excited. Feline Flotsam is
a tremendous product, is it not?
It's as good as it sounds. Discovered in a cream condoms factory chemical fire in 2017. I'm not going to read it. Feline Flotsam, the world's first all-foam kitty litter. Unlike traditional kitty litter that needs constant scooping and maintenance, Feline Flotsam starts as a thin layer of white ash that you spread evenly across the bottom of a stainless steel bucket. As your cat uses the bucket, a gentle chemical reaction between the stainless steel bucket and the bacteria in the ash creates a clean, fresh scent and a small explosion of sparks. When the foam reaches the top of the bucket, securely seal the bucket with the provided set of locks, place outside your house, and call the emergency disposal number on the bucket. A trained team of technicians will arrive with a fresh stainless steel bucket, a fresh packet of Feline Flotsam for for you and a short notice of quarantine. Do not use feline flotsam in any container other than the provided stainless steel bucket. If the foam begins to eat through the bucket, call the emergency number and evacuate the area. If the foam becomes sentient, do not obey the foam. The foam cannot be trusted. Feline flotsam is the easiest kitty litter on the market. Just sprinkle and forget.
Now, can you tell me what that was about? Because I spaced out.
That's what a good ad does, right?
No, I was just thinking about, you ever, during something being read, like if you're at a lecture, I haven't been to a lecture in a long time, but you just start going, you just start thinking, wow, why am I fighting with that guy? Like, you know, just your life. That's what that ad did to me.
That's amazing. You know, sometimes when I'm talking to somebody, I get this incredible hypnosis that comes over me. My whole body relaxes. I want to doze off. I call it a human coma, like a food coma. Do you get human coma sometimes when you're talking to people?
Yeah.
Where you get that feeling like you just want to, it's a great feeling, but you can't remain engaged. It's happening right now to you, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's because of this fucking post-nasal drip that I'm spacing out a lot.
Really?
I also took an allergy pill today.
Oh, that'll do
Benadryl.
It. Benadryl. Oh, fuck. Really? Did you take that?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder.
And I'm feeling like just kind of spacey.
A little
Benadryl.
Does that explain that meeting we had?
I thought I was good in the meeting.
You were good. You were. It was like Glengarry Glen Ross.
All right. Don't fuck up my iPad.
I can't. I'm not.
So what? Can you explain that?
That's
ad to
it's
me?
It's a kitty litter. It's disposable kitty litter.
Yeah.
That.
Go ahead.
I don't know. It does something other cat litters don't do. It it allows you to have a hazmat experience.
Okay.
With your cat litter, which is, you know.
All right, we're gonna play a call, and here we go. Here we go. Here we go. First call. And by the way, if you want to call us, you should. If you want to call us, you should. And the number to call, that's what I'm trying to get to, is 424 area code 262-0904. If you want to talk to the show, just leave us a message. 424-262-0904, and we've had a lot of calls this week, and here's the first one.
Hey, message for Eddie and Steve. Steve here calling from Toronto. Got a couple of personal things to let you know. I'm legally changing my name to Steve Long Message, and I've enrolled myself in voicemail school, and I want to learn how to leave more concise messages. I wanted to call to get, you know, just want to see if you have anything neat to say today, anything good to say about the shit that's going on. So the reason I'm calling is, I was going backwards through, Senate hearings from 2 years ago when, the Wells Fargo, two different CEOs of Wells Fargo were getting their asses handed to them by, Elizabeth Warren and AOC and a whole bunch of other senators that I don't remember. It was this video after video of these people getting their asses handed to them and a lot of detail about the scam that bank had pulled. And, you know, doesn't that stuff, well, I'm sure it must piss you right off when you watch that, but also it's like, I'm getting real tired of sitting there and having to watch it. Long story short, it's like they're reaching right in and grabbing my heart and giving it a good squeeze and going, let's see how you feel about this. It just makes me angry, you know, like, and all this stuff is upsetting everything. When everything I see makes me angry, then I want to just tune out. Just tune right the fuck out. And then some motherfucker killed 49 people today in New Zealand and is more or less directly just saying, you know, I did this because of, you know, because I think Trump is cool and quoting, you know, other people, like, it's sort of making him angry, right? So what the hell question do I have for you? I don't know. I just want to, like, do you have anything to tell me, you know? It'll be a really sad day when I'll have to stop listening to comedians, because I listen to comedians when they make me angry, which hasn't happened yet, except for the really bad comedians. But I don't know, guys. I just got to tune out. I just got to stop paying attention, and which I would see as a long-term problem. I don't want to not pay attention. I think it's important to pay attention. But on the other hand, it's like the more I pay attention, the more angry I get. And I don't know about you, but I like my nervous system. I like, you know, being kind of like being, I like having my feet planted on the ground and all that. I'm just tired of getting pissed off, you know. How do you handle it?
Yeah. Now there's a second part. There's a second part to this conversation that we're going to play. Second part to Steve's call. And it was great. It was a great call. And it's kind of what we're talking about. Like how, you know, he was watching the Wells Fargo hearings. And basically what you learn from the Wells Fargo hearings, where Elizabeth Warren was maybe grilling somebody in Wells Fargo, is that there's one set of laws for the rich, i.e., they don't get jailed. You know, they don't go to prison. And another set of the laws for people who don't have that money. And there's a great book about it. Here's another guy who I love to follow. He's a contributor to Rolling Stone, but he's a great author himself, Matt Taibbi. And he wrote a book called The Divide, if you get a chance. I listened to that on audio. By the way, audiobooks are great to listen to on a plane, and it puts me to sleep, even though they're really good books and his was really good. I would go into such a deep sleep, you know, listening to, about the divide between the rich and poor. You know, just a deep, deep slumber.
It's a bad sign. It's a really bad sign.
Why?
I mean, it's good to get a deep sleep, but, you know, it should
on the planes. I like sleeping.
No, there's nothing better
on
than
long
sleep.
Plane rides. But so Steve talking about, and then, you know, the mass shooting that we alluded to, you know, you watch Wells Fargo go scot-free.
By the way, Wells Fargo wasn't really punished badly for any of that stuff.
None of these guys
are. So it's
are.
All lip service. Like,
what
Warren,
did they do exactly?
Warren is just,
what did Wells Fargo do exactly?
They fabricated 2 million accounts, I think. They, fraud, massive class action fraud, but nothing happened to them.
What do you mean fabricate? What
they
do you mean?
Created,
who did they fuck over?
They created a massive amount of fake accounts to make it seem to increase their stock, to increase their to make it seem as if they were doing fine. Mm. And
they are doing fine. They have tons of money.
They're doing fine, but why would they do that? To just,
you tell me.
So their CEOs can continue to get the massive bonuses.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
By the way, when the banks were bailed out, and this is for Steve, to get him more pissed off.
Oh, boy.
When the banks were bailed out by the illustrious George Bush, yep. George W. Bush.
And then the great Obama, he came along and did one, too.
Oh, that's right.
Both of them. Like a gang.
Who was it, Obama or Bush?
Both. Both.
Really?
Both, yeah. I think they had to pay back the one that Bush, they didn't have to pay back the Obama loan.
But what they do with this money, they got, you know, $1 billion bailout, you know, they just buy back their own stock, you know.
It's just incest, dude. Just incestuous wealth.
It doesn't trickle down to the average working person.
No. No.
The average working person is so, so fucked in this country. And, you know, the divide by Matt Taibbi about criminality in the U.S., it's a crime to be poor. Essentially, it literally is a crime to be poor in the United States.
There's a driver's license thing now, federal law. When you go to get a driver's license, when you go to renew your driver's license, you have to show them a bill, like a utilities bill. Uh-huh. Otherwise, they won't give you a driver's license that you can use to get on an airplane.
Oh, in other words, if you're homeless.
Right. If you're renting. If you're renting or you're subletting and you don't have utility bills in your name.
Well, you have to have them in your name, right?
The point is, no, not
when
if
you're renting.
No, you could be subletting from somebody.
Do you have bills in your name?
I do. Not to brag that I have that kind of lifestyle. I made it in this world. Do you?
Let's play the second part. But Steve, also, and to everybody out there who, you know, it's maddening. And I think, you know, the answer is, you know, going in nature, you know, and just running through the woods naked on LSD. You have to be monitored by someone, though. I try to get someone who is very experienced with the acid to take me through.
Who do you get? Do you have different people or just do you have
different shamans? You could go, there's an app you could download for a shaman to take you through an LSD experience. It's just called the Shaman app. And it's, you know, you'll have a shaman appear at your door within. You know, they come from far away usually. If you're in a major city, though, there's always shamans who are, you know, around. And they will come to your door. And also ayahuasca. There's a ayahuasca app you could download on your farm. On your farm. This fucking Benadryl is fucking me up. I'm sorry. But you could download a ayahuasca app. Ayahuasca is this, it's another hallucinogenic that is indigenous to the Amazon. And, you know, I know you know about it. I could see, you know, the average person, you know, doing ayahuasca now, like, Harry, did the ayahuasca come in the mail yet?
It didn't come.
Oh, because I wanted to find out about my inner life.
Yeah, I know, me too. If it's not here by the end of the day, I'll call Amazon. They fuck up deliveries constantly.
Yeah, I want to do ayahuasca. By the way, do we have the ayahuasca app so we could have someone take us through the experience, the event? Because, as you know, my niece, Bernice, she did her ayahuasca, and she hasn't come back to us.
That's good in Bernice's case. She was an asshole.
Someone's knocking on the
come
door.
Come in.
Hi, I'm your mailman. I have your illegal drugs here. Can I do some with you?
No. Harry, the mail person wants to do some ayahuasca with us. Tell him to get his own ayahuasca.
Okay,
he's gone.
Boy, it was easy to convince him, huh?
Yeah, he was sort of like an improv player who doesn't really commit to the bit.
All right, let's play the second half now of Steve's phone call.
Hey there, it's Steve from Toronto again. I left a kind of a long message earlier. I wanted to say that that message I left was more about how do I stop being angry and do I have to tune out from watching all this online stuff, the things that I see about injustice and bankers and stuff. It was not a message about, I'm so angry, I'm going to shoot up a bunch of people or something, because I did mention the shooting today.
By the way, I'm going to get back to that message, but yeah, that was, Steve, no, you didn't come off like that at all, just so you know.
He's Canadian, dude. That's why he thinks.
But he was worrying about, he came off like a lunatic.
Yeah, because
no, he came off like a sane person. And, you know, this is a cliche, but if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. You know what I mean? Or if you're not angry, you're part of the problem. You know what I mean? Like, you should be angry at, you know, the way
right, but he doesn't want to walk around enraged and, you know.
Yes, I totally get that. And so the answer is, you know.
The shaman.
I was fooling around about that, but, you know, the answer is to, like, really be in the moment with loved ones, you know? I mean, dogs, I've talked about this before. I, animals are such a beautiful thing. I have, and this isn't to brag, 3 cats and 2 dogs, you know. Just do things, you know, parent yourself, love yourself. Let's finish Steve's call.
Okay.
My last message. So, I mean, and even then I would, like, I don't know, I feel like I would want to ask you guys if you're thinking of including that message on the next podcast, like, you're free to do that, but if I had a choice, I would say, I would hate to hear my voice, you know, saying those things on your next podcast.
Look.
Well, I played it, Steve, because you didn't sound crazy.
No, but he's Canadian. For him, getting angry is different from you from Brooklyn.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Anyway, I love Steve. Let's finish up.
That's it. Just wanted to clarify all that. Have a great day. Really like your podcast. Take care. Bye.
I love that guy.
Turn this off.
Emma, can we get an interpretation from you about that?
About the end of that, or the
yes,
whole thing?
Yes, the end.
It sounds like maybe he didn't know how to turn his phone off, or maybe it was a bit.
It was a bit, I think.
I definitely think it's. He seems to be pretty good at this voicemail thing, so I would assume a bit.
Right, and now we're gonna play two messages, and here we go. You could leave a message for the show too, folks. And I gave you that number already, but I'll give it to you again because I am that type of guy who gives out 424-262-0904. And here's our next message. This is a two-parter too, so bear with us.
Hey, Eddie, this is Anna Savage. Just checking in, no relation. Just checking in with you and seeing how you doing, how are things, and wondering, I have a question. I'm wondering, you seem like an authentic person, which is why I'm attracted to you, not sexually, but attracted to you mentally. You seem like somebody who knows what he likes, what he doesn't like. And I, as a new atheist type person, I'm 40 and I don't know who I am. Never mind. I'm done with this. I love you. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm not really speaking from my heart. This is like an effect that I've put on. It's ridiculous, right? And that's kind of what I'm trying to get at, authenticity. You have authenticity. I would like some of that. Could you maybe mail me some? Is it something you can, because I've spent 35 of my 40 years as a Pentecostal Christian, and I'm trying to wade through now countless, that was bullshit. Oh, that, remember that? Remember when that happened? Yes, that was bullshit. Things, you know, things as things come up, I go, oh yeah, that was crap. Like one time, I was speaking in tongues, and man, this sounds crazy. I'm a crazy person. I'm talking into this machine, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, you're probably not listening anymore, so I'm just gonna go on, like I'm just whatever. So. That happened, and I had this experience where, yeah, I'm done. I can't. It's too much. There's too many things. There's too much. I don't even know what I want to impart to you. I don't even know what I'm trying to say to you. I need therapy, Eddie. I need therapy. I need to pay someone to sit there and listen to me. Because then maybe I won't feel guilty that I'm wasting their time, because I'm not wasting your time. I'm paying for your time, which is so disgusting. That's so... Ugh. But I'm going to do it, because everybody says it's the right thing to do. That's what I'm going to do, because there's too much. I can't sit down and tell people what's going on in my head, because it doesn't make... There's no context. Nobody...
Okay, and now the second part of that.
Hi, Eddie. This is Anna Savage, no relation. I just wanted to say so many things, but I'm going to just sing to you my favorite song. Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side? Rainbows are fashion. They're only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to time. Though we've been told and some choose to believe it, but I know the wrong way to see. Someday we'll find it, the proof of collusion. The lovers, the dreamers, and me, all of us under its spell. Wonder why it's not bad. Okay. I am very, done.
So after listening to those two messages, we're proud to announce that Anna
Savage,
no relation, is our new producer.
We are so excited to welcome someone with the credentials, someone who brings the clarity that Anna Savage, somebody with her kind of experience, brings to our podcast. It's just really exciting for both of us, right, Eddie?
Absolutely. Thank you, Anna, and we look forward to working with you here on the show. Okay. So what minute are we at, Emma?
41.
41. Oh, good. So what else is going on? Have you – oh, by the way, I'll be going to – I always forget to do this up front, but I will be traveling. I'm going to be doing a bunch of traveling in April. I am going to be at Shakespeare's in Kalamazoo on April 4th. There's links to that show, Shakespeare's. Look up Shakespeare's in Kalamazoo. April 4th, if you were in the Michigan, Kalamazoo area, the Kalamazoo, Michigan area, please see me. And then from there, I'm going to go to Detroit, Michigan, and I'll be at Ant Hall. And that'll be April 5th. So please, you know, look up Ant Hall, Eddie Pepitone, April 5th. And then, folks, I'm going to be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin. I'll be performing the 25th, the 26th, and the 27th.
Of April?
Of April. Thank
Man,
you, Steven.
You're busy.
And, yeah. And then from there, I'm going to New York, and I'm going to book a couple of things in New York, and as soon as I do, I will let you know where I'll be in New York. But I'm going to try to do – I'm going to try to fit in a couple of shows in New York when I go visit my dad. Anything you want to promote, even though we're in the middle and not the end of the
show?
We should promote this stuff up top.
Yeah. Really? I'd like it at the end.
End, huh? The wisdom is – and by the way, we are – like pulling back the curtain of show business right now to you. And, you know, I hope that you learn. So
yeah,
the wisdom is that you do it at the top because you get more people up at top.
They haven't tuned out
after
yet.
After they have listened to some of the
they're like, we gotta
stuff
get
that's
the
going
on,
they're yeah. gone.
I get
you know, they're long
Let's
gone.
Let's do that then. That's,
yes. I keep forgetting to do the dates up top, but that's what you should do.
Well, we should always.
So where are you going to be?
June of this year, LA, the Los Angeles Stand-Up Comedy Festival.
Nice.
It's going to be on my website. It's June 2019. It's coming up, and it's in Barnsdall Park. Do you know where that is? And
yes, I do.
It's right off of Vermont.
It's in Los Feliz.
Yeah, up on the landing or whatever's up there.
I saw The Tempest, the Shakespeare play The Tempest in Barnsdall Park.
You're stealing my thunder, man.
Well, it's interesting that you say thunder because The Tempest opens with tremendous thunder. I'm not kidding.
So Los Angeles Stand-Up Comedy Festival, right where Eddie saw The Tempest, Barnstall Park, June 2019. Mark Brazil, our buddy Mark Brazil's on that show.
Very nice.
I think Brian Regan might be appearing there. I don't know.
Great comic.
Yeah. So come. I'll tell you more about it later.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so getting back to it. So Anna's our new engineer, producer. But getting back to your – by the way, she was singing the Muppets theme song. Kermit sings some, you know, about the ring.
So many.
I saw him do that live. I saw Kermit, who was operated by –
Jim Henson?
What?
Jim Henson?
Well, Henson created Kermit.
Who was operating him that day?
And I think Frank Oz does his voice, but I don't know if Oz still does his voice. But I was in the Muppet movie with Jason Segel. Jason Segel and Amy Adams. And yes, I played the postman. And there was a dance number choreographed by Mickey Rooney's kid. No shit. And Mickey Rooney was on the set too. And I got cut out of the movie essentially, except my voice. The director, who's a super cool dude, I got cut out. He said the timing of the dance didn't work. Fuck. You know? And since I'm not a big star, they weren't going to reshoot me. But it would have been such a great thing for me. And I got cut out. And that's how I roll. But I've gotten residuals from the movie because he kept me in the movie.
The voice. Your voice is in
it. The voice. My voice is in it.
Well, that's all that matters. You got paid.
Oh, I got paid. But if I would have been seen in that movie, I may...
Things could have turned a corner for you.
Things could have turned out differently. I might not be on a podcast with the paper towel on my neck.
Then I wouldn't have a podcast. Do you see how that works out, ladies and gentlemen?
I do see how that works out. But... Yeah, just to kind of finalize with Steve, it's like how – I mean, I feel like I just – I think you have to keep the spark burning, meaning that, you know, at some point we have to decide – and Chris Hedges, my guru, talks about this a lot. We have to decide when to resist, when to take to the streets, when to actively, and you have to do it with groups of people. You have to, like, we have to form alliances. You know, the proletariat, people who are getting crushed by, you know, these horrible fucking people who have turned everybody and everything into a commodity. When do we really revolt as people, and you know, in a nonviolent way? But when do we do it? You know, they're doing it in France. I always mention the Yellow Vest movement, which sometimes gets co-opted by the lunatics, you know, the lunatic fringe, or, you know, the alt-right and all those guys, you know. But you know, that's a mass movement of people who are fed up with globalization and neoliberalism.
Well, how do you fight people who think – you just want to give stuff away to everybody, because that's the right wing, you know, that's the conservative. You've got people who evangelize that, and then you've got people who ignore the poor. So you've got the people who ignore the poor, and then the people who want to just fuck the poor. So how do we do that, Eddie? I mean, how do we, like?
I don't know, but we have to read an ad. this one is Topps Trading Cards.
That's a real company.
I think people know that.
Oh,
discovered in a cream. Oh, no, that's
the other one, man.
Sorry, folks.
Benadryl.
Here we go. Kids and adults have been trading baseball cards for years. But let's face it, with baseball, you've got no skin in the game. That's why Topps releases their sexual predator trading cards. From Dan the Dog Dinklage of Bentley, Illinois, to basically anyone who has ever hosted a show on Fox News, Topps has them all. So these are sexual predator trading cards. Instead of baseball cards or football cards, this is, you know, you could follow sexual predators with easy, you know, little 3x5 cards. Watch the look on your child's face as they have fun learning all about major and minor leagues of sexual misconduct. See them age right before your eyes as their innocence is ripped away like the wax from Mitch McConnell's bikini line. Guy Yogurthold of Yuba, Wisconsin says, quote, "My son and I were halfway through Lady and the Tramping, the stick of gum from the pack before I realized what these cards were. Ted McDampslacks from Edge Hill, Georgia told us." Georgia, not Georgia. Georgia, that's my New York accent. Ted McDampslacks from Edge Hill, Georgia told us, quote, "I swear to God, there is more than one Ted Oliver McDamslaps in Edge Hill. It's not my rookie card." Laramie Fuzzpocket says, "I thought there would be more priests. There is no way I can jerk off to these. Well, who am I kidding? Villains of the Me Too movement, anyone who produced a movie before 1994, and about 70% of the people on a first-name basis with our presidents. Topps has your card."
And thanks to Matt Rasamoto for writing these great commercials that are easy to read.
Well, there's a couple of spelling errors in that one. Again, Matt is he's busy, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, he puts these out, you know.
Talent, you know, it doesn't always spell right.
He doesn't always spell right. Let's see. Are there any other topics? We have a couple more phone calls. We have another ad.
The butterflies. Did we go over that last week?
Well, we did the migration. Yeah, going through a lot of self-hatred during the butterfly migration. I remember that line. It was a beautiful line.
That was incredible. You got like 20,000. You're killing on Instagram, dude.
I mean, not really. I have almost 10,000.
No, but I mean the amount of views. The views on Instagram are.
Oh, really?
An insane amount. Anytime I go on there, which isn't often, I see your video, and there's thousands of views.
Why do
on
you
your
stay
video.
Away? You should try to build more of a.
I know.
I'm serious. You should try to. And yeah, somebody last week. You should try to build more of a social media presence.
I hate it. I fucking hate it.
Okay, you hate it. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I totally agree with you, but I'm trying to. I guess this is me trying to rope you into the horror. You know, you don't like to be alone. You know, misery,
right.
Likes
misery
company.
Loves company. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Plus, you would help the podcast if you had more of a following.
But I turn into that guy, Steve from Toronto, where I get angry when I'm on. It just makes me angry, the social media.
All right. I guess I have to carry the load for both of us. All right. Well, social media is a drag. But I've met some really cool fucking people on social. You see, everything has a fucking good and bad side. I mean, social media, too, also atomizes us. You know, it keeps us apart. The thing I'm talking about that we need to fucking form alliances. We have to gain strength through numbers and fight, you know, all the unbelievable shit that's going down. I mean, everybody with an illness has to start a GoFundMe page in this country.
Crazy, man.
And it's bullshit, you know? And everybody is like pinning their hopes on the election. But I that'll lead me to a call here. Here we go. Here's another call.
Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Eddie. It's Jed and Liz from San Francisco.
Hey, we're just calling to say hello. We're huge fans. And we're starting to like Lolly a little more. He's growing on us. We just have a real quick question. We were walking around in Napa, and we had a question. Because Liz is going to vote for Warren, and I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris, so we kind of got into this discussion. Who, in your mind, who is Chris Hedges going to vote for? And then the other question is, who do you guys think Obama is going to vote for? This is what we got into. All right, we're big fans. You guys are awesome. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, you guys.
Okay. Hey, Jed and Liz. Thank you very much. You guys are great. I'll answer your question. Chris Hedges is I don't think Hedges would. I don't know if he would vote for anybody. Maybe Tulsi Gabbard. Maybe Bernie. But Hedges' critique on Bernie. Is that he hasn't called out the war machine, and he should have run as an independent after the DNC, and you know the Clintons fucked him, you know, by conspiring and to not let him have the nomination last year, which would have been our only hope to get rid of the monstrosity Trump. Now, I would vote for Bernie. If I had to vote for someone, or Tulsi Gabbard myself, definitely not Kamala Harris or Warren. Who would you vote for, Steve?
Kamala Harris is a solar panel on top of a gas station. I mean, she's the worst. And Warren couldn't even come out and endorse Sanders in the 2016. She didn't even have the spine. Mm-hmm. So I think she strikes me as a empty gesture. To the poor.
Yeah. Like Bernie or bust.
Good talk, though.
Bernie or bust. But you know what Hedges says about elections? He says, he quotes, I think it's Ted Berrigan, one of the Berrigans who were great activists, the kind of activists we're talking about, the kind of activists who went into nuclear facilities where they made nuclear bombs and they literally, this is true, they literally took hammers to the weapons and they knew they were going to go to jail. They burned draft. They went into draft. You know, when they had draft cards,
drafting people for the war. They burned draft cards. They knew they were going to go to jail for it. They knew it. They knew they weren't going to win, but they did it just because they knew that by them doing it, you know, resistance spreads. Like one act of resistance leads to another act of resistance. And Berrigan and Hedges, who come from faith-based traditions, say that faith, the definition of faith is that the good will draw to it the good. So by doing these acts of resistance, even though you know you're going to jail, you know that it's the right thing and that it's going to inspire others to do the same. And Hedges says about elections, and Berrigan does too, that if elections worked, they wouldn't be legal. You know, and that's not to say, you know, you shouldn't vote, but we need such mass movements. You know, we need strong unions, not the bullshit unions, you know, not the sellout unions. We need, you know, strong community, and we're all behind, and me too, you know, we're all behind our computers and walled in and isolated and scared, and we need to come together, you know, and we need to fight the right people. Let's go to another couple of calls here. We just have a couple left.
Obama's going to vote for...
Oh, Obama. Who would Obama vote for?
I think he's going to vote for Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Obama. I hate to say it, Jed and Liz, if you're fans of Obama, I was really disappointed. I was such a pro-Obama guy when he first came into power, and I believed it, and I'll never again will I believe the bullshit, you know, because he, you know, though he's eloquent, he's just a different brand of corporate power and corporate totalitarianism. He, you know, turned out to be a complete war hawk. He prosecuted more whistleblowers than any other president.
Didn't put any bankers in jail. Didn't raise any taxes on the rich.
So,
and on and on.
Yeah, fuck Obama. All right, so here's a couple more messages.
Hey, it's Liz again. Sorry, I got cut off.
That's the second.
Let's go to the first message. Okay, here we go.
Eddie Pepitone, Steve Lally, hi. It's Liz from Minneapolis. How are you guys? I'm a big fan. I love your show. I think you guys are both so lovable, and I look forward to your show every week. Eddie, I'm calling because I'm wondering if you can give me any suggestions to what to bring to a barbecue. Do you usually bring veggie burgers, vegan sausages? Do you do some kind of potato salad? I'm wondering because barbecue season's approaching. Speaking of sausages, Steve, congratulations. Oh, I was really rooting for you that whole time, and it felt like forever. I'm really happy for you. And in Florida, nonetheless, what a great story.
That's the second. Oh, she got it cut off.
She forgot what she was going to say. But by the way, Liz, yeah, I'm a vegan. She's asking what do vegans bring to a barbecue. First of all, they bring a great presence. They bring a terrific attitude, a judgmental attitude. No, don't ever be. If you're a vegan, by the way, don't be an asshole. I learned that quick. I mean, obviously, if you're a passionate vegan like I am because of animal rights, and that's the first thing I'm a vegan for, not the diet, but, you know, animal rights. That's what it's all about for me. If you do any research on the meat and dairy industry, there's no other choice but be vegan, but you don't want to be an asshole. So I bring vegan sausages, vegan burgers, not veggie burgers. Some veggie burgers have eggs in them, vegan sausages. And a lot of times I'll just bring pumpkin seeds. No, I'm kidding. Wouldn't it be funny to bring pumpkin seeds to a barbecue? Like, hey, guys. Like, because, you know, I mean, I, of course, I used to be a flesh eater.
How long have you been vegan?
About 7 years now, 6-7 years. But, you know, I saw the light, and I used to eat all that stuff. And it would be hilarious, you know, to bring to that culture.
Kale, you know, like dried kale. Would be funny.
No, put down that sausage. You gotta eat this dried kale. Here's the end of Liz's messages.
Hey, it's Liz again. Sorry, I got cut off. Before I leave, I wanted to leave you with a little tune that I wrote. I sing it to myself every time I have a sausage. It's called Ode to Sausage, and it goes like this. Kielbasa, kielbasa, where have you been all my life? Kielbasa, kielbasa, if I was a dick, I'd fuck your wife. Bye, guys.
What is going on? We're having people leave songs to us. That was great, though, Liz.
Hey, and by the way, call us and sing to us. Please call us and sing to us if you didn't get how much we enjoy that.
Here's another message. What number? What minute mark are we at, Emma? 1 hour. Okay, we're going to finish up now. Here is our last call.
Hey, Eddie. My name's Dawn. I just love you. I think you're great. I want to thank you for your service. I've heard you say, I believe, comedians are the modern day priest. You're absolutely right about that. I think it's holy. I absolutely believe it's holy when you would sacrifice yourself, your dignity for a laugh in another. That's a holy thing. That's a beautiful thing. I think everyone who's chosen silly over anguish and, you know, hatred and becoming aggressive in this world has done the godly thing. And you're beautiful, and your jokes are so funny, man. Your absurdity is great, and I love the sound of you hollering. It's perfect. You make me laugh very hard, and I'll love you forever for that. I live in Southeast Michigan. Anytime you come through, I am your servant. Anything I have is yours. I vape parts. I just think you're wonderful, and I have kitties. So there's precious little fuzz faces to look at if you come through and want to allow me to host you for even 5 seconds. You're a wonderful man. I pray that pussy's thrown at you constantly, you know, like a vicious hurricane of kisses and love coming at you all the time. You just got to fight off to get even 4 feet ahead of you. I love you, Mr. Man, sir.
What a great message. And I will be coming to Michigan again. I'm going to be in Kalamazoo, April 4th, and then Detroit, Michigan, April 5th, Kalamazoo at Shakespeare's, and Ant Hall. And we have, I believe, one more ad. Steve, do you want to do the honors?
Oh, I'm honored.
Here it is.
Written by Matt Rossimoto. One more time. Are you sure we have one more?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
This one is from Larry Lewinsky's, a new sponsor. Here we go.
All right, Larry Lewinsky's. Oh, if you live in the Brooklyn area, come on down to
Brooklyn.
Come on down to Larry Lewinsky's Tooth and Tire Service, the only full-service station for both car, tire, and dental needs. Larry's got all kinds of tires your car may need, even the ones with the crazy treads for your fancy foreign cars. And don't get me started on the tooth stuff. Larry's crazy about teeth, and he has all the doodads and gizmos you can name, the squirter thing, the plugger stuff, all of it. Don't spend your hard-earned money on some fancy jerk. He's got drills. Larry's got drills. Same thing. So if your mouth stuff don't look right or your tire stuff is all messed up, come to Larry. Unlike the competitors, he knows the difference, even if the tools are the same. And Larry Lewinsky is a name you can trust. The Lewinskys have been in Brooklyn since 2004, when Larry had to be relocated by the FBI for some stuff. But let's not talk about who murdered how many people and with what kind of tires. That's neither here nor there, especially if there is located in the Pacific Southwest all the way to El Paso. Tire Psycho Dentist is the name that can be given out to anybody for any number of crazy reasons. When you think about it, tires are like the teeth for your car. Let Larry take a look. Larry Lewinsky.
Thank you. So look up Larry, and I think that's a great trend, is businesses,
teeth and
disparate
tires.
Businesses being combined. Like, you could go for a tire, you could go for a root canal in the same visit.
Mm-hmm. Colonoscopy.
Some people, like Best Buy, are teaming up with Cedars-Sinai. You could go buy yourself a Bluetooth speaker and get a colonoscopy. Things like that are becoming more and more prevalent. So everybody, show your love for the Pep Talks podcast by leaving a comment, liking the episode, subscribing to our show, and writing a letter to your congressman. I'm not officially running for president, but when I do, I'll take anything from anybody. I'll open oil drilling sites in Alaska in exchange for a half-eaten eggplant eggplant parmesan. I'll shut down the FDA for 2 tickets for Hootie and the Blowfish. That's me helping out the little guy. But you don't have to wait for one of us to run for political office. Office, we have set up a public wish list on Amazon, chock full of stuff that Steven and I would like. Bread, socks, inner tubes, and such. Just write what you want us to do on the gift receipt, and we will do whatever you say. Kill your ex-husband, wear fancy hats. The world is your oyster. Or you could write us a review asking us to kill a stranger. We don't care. Got teenagers? We can take care of that for you. Tell us who to murder for you on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever fine podcasts are heard. Our engineers today, it was Emma Erdbrink and also Aaron Brungard. Our producer, Matt Rossimoto. Leave a message, 424-262-0904. Email us at fanmail@peptalkspodcast.com. Facebook, fb.me/pepitonefans. And YouTube, pepitonepodcast.com. All right, everybody. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Eddie.
Next week, we will have a guest with us, a brilliant woman, and you will see her next week. Okay. Thanks again, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you.